The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Ireland's oversubscription of barristers is causing financial consequences for many within the profession. Now, that's according to an EY report for the Bar of Ireland. It found that Ireland has hundreds more barristers than is appropriate for our population size. High attrition rates, low fees, a lack of diversity is causing many barristers to walk away from the law. Now, we're joined by Fine Gael Senator and practising barrister Barry Ward and also a barrister at law Darren Lawler, who works in the district court by and large. Good morning and welcome to you both. So, Barry, first of all, what's the problem?
Well, this report has identified a number of issues, many of which have been addressed by the Bar Council, particularly in relation to diversity issues. And the Bar is becoming increasingly diverse, which is a welcome development. But there are
How do you do that? I mean, are we talking about gender diversity? Are we talking about racial diversity, ethnic diversity? What are we talking about?
All of the above. But I know there are targeted schemes within King's Inns where barristers train to encourage people from minority sectors, whether that be ethnically or whatever it might be, to encourage them into the profession. And there are now bursaries and grants to help people in their first few years at the bar. But it's important to remember that barristers who come down to the law library to practice are self-employed people. So they are starting up a business. And in all business startup environments, there will be businesses that don't succeed. What's important is that we put in place a level playing field to make it as easy as possible for those who are going to succeed to stay in the law library, to make that business succeed and to become a functional practicing barrister who can make a living.
Yeah, but are we producing too many barristers? We know that, for example, we produce a lot of medical graduates, but a huge lot of them head off out of here and go to work in Australia and Canada and so on and so forth. Barristers probably can't just go and practice in South Africa if they want to, so they're all staying at home.
No, but I mean, like doctors, barristers have very transferable skills. So you'll find a lot of people who do start to practice in the law library identify that the skills they have learned as barristers can be used in other fields, and those analytical and kind of advocacy skills are very transferable. Maybe not in the same way that a medical degree would be going to practice in a hospital in Cape Town or something like that, but certainly working in business, the skills that barristers bring are transferable. So the attrition rates that are reported in the EY report, many of them are not in fact due to the fact that people cannot succeed as barristers, but because they identify an area where they would rather work or where it's more lucrative for them to work.
Yeah, I mean, someone might become the legal officer in a company.
Exactly, yeah. And lots of barristers do go in as in-house counsel in corporate or NGOs or lots of other areas. So it is transferable in that regard.
Now we still have many hundreds more barristers than we actually need for our population. Why has that happened?
Well, in the past, and it's probably 20 years ago, when there was the competition authority suggested that if we restricted the number of people who could enter the profession, that would be an anti-competitive practice. So what they have encouraged instead is that anybody who wants to practice law and is qualified to do so should be allowed into the law library and should be allowed to start that practice. And that meant that there was, certainly when I was first called to the bar in 2005, there was a huge balloon in the number of people who were coming into the library that year. And undoubtedly, that made it very difficult for new entrants into the library to make a living because there were so many people competing for a smaller slice of the cake, because there is only a fixed amount of work available in the law library. There's only a fixed amount of litigation. But in tandem with that, we know that certain sectors experience particular difficulty getting paid. A lot of barristers will do a lot of work for free. And I know that's not something that in the popular mindset, the media, with greatest respect, like to talk about the four gold mines. That's not a reality, particularly for those in the junior branches of the profession. It can be difficult to get paid. If you're working for state work or legal aid work, it can be that the rates at which you're paid can be extremely difficult. And I'm sure Darren will talk about this, getting paid by certain sectors in relation to work that is done and is remunerated can even be very, very slow, which can cause a difficulty for junior members.
Yeah. Now, can you employ a barrister to get an opinion without going through a solicitor?
Yeah, there is a direct professional access process available. Generally speaking, though, people should go to solicitors because they will prepare the question properly for the barrister, and barristers are skilled really in providing that expert advice in terms of the context of litigation usually. The idea that everybody would be going directly to a barrister doesn't really work, but barristers are available to give advice in certain circumstances.
So therefore, barristers, their customers are not the public, their customers are the solicitors.
Yes, Exactly. But I mean, I often compare this to the medical profession in that when you have a medical problem, the first port of call is your GP. And your GP might be very expert in a particular area and highly qualified, obviously. It's just a different role. They then decide whether you need, for example, to go to hospital. And barristers are like non-consultant hospital doctors. Senior counsel are like hospital consultants. They usually work in a very niche area or a very particular area, or they might require an intervention like a surgical procedure, and that's like going to court. But your first port of call should be your GP, who knows you, who understands your problem, yeah, and knows
how to deal
with it. But
the GP, though, also will have a few pet consultants. You know, if it's a rheumatology problem, I'll give it to X. If it's a neurological problem, I'll give it to Y. And they always give it to the same people. Is that one of the problems in the law library, that if you're not teacher's pet, you don't get work?
Yeah, I don't know if I quite put it in those terms, Pat, but I think in fairness, solicitors will work with certain barristers they trust, who have given them good service in the past, whose expertise they can rely on, and whose professionalism they can rely on. And that's appropriate, as it is in any business sector. Lots of people in business will work with particular business partners or particular suppliers because they have a working relationship with them, they trust them, they get good service from them. And that's the same thing that happened with solicitors. I can tell you this for absolute sure and certain, solicitors will not continue to brief barristers who are not doing a good job. And barristers will know that themselves. Solicitors don't tolerate a situation where a barrister isn't delivering a service for their clients. And it is quite a personal thing for a solicitor to brief a barrister, because he or she is putting his or her professional reputation in the hands of that barrister. Because if the barrister doesn't deliver, then of course the solicitor loses the client as well.
Yeah. Some of the texts coming in. Might too many barristers be a sign that we're starting to win the war on the claims culture?
I don't think so, no. I mean, there's only a small section of the law library that deals with personal injury cases. There are lots of things that have been done, but primarily to aid insurance companies. And that is probably a smaller sector of the law library, but you'll find lots of people have left that kind of personal injuries work and have moved into other areas. I don't think that's really a reflection on the number of barristers.
Another one, and it's directed at you, but also a huge cohort of politicians over the years. Surely people like Barry are part of the problem. Barristers who are double jobbing. Why do multiple members of the Oireachtas treat their Oireachtas job as part time and the real job down in the law library, or indeed, I suppose, vice versa?
Yeah, well, it's not the case that I treat my Oireachtas work as part time, and it's certainly very, very I have a lot of work to do, absolutely, but the amount of work I do in the law library has greatly reduced as a consequence of the fact that I'm in the Oireachtas. But the reality is that politics, much like the law library, it's very insecure, and you don't know if you're going to be there in a couple of years' time or not. And so the law library is not something you can walk away from and come back to in the way you might with an employed position, for example. If you leave your practice in the law library, the solicitors will find another barrister to brief, and they're not just going to leave that person when you come back in a couple of years' time. So from my own perspective, just from a simple security point of view, I do maintain my practice, but I like to think that I deliver on both fronts.
Finally, I should ask you about the kind of job it is, because most people, if you've got a centre forward who doesn't score goals, they'll be dropped and they'll be sold off by the club. But in the case of a case that goes to court, there's always, one side that loses and the other side wins. How much does track record depend on whether you get a job or not? Like, he lost his last three cases. I'm not going to him.
I think hugely. It's not so much the simple fact that somebody lost a case, but you are only as good as the last case you did. But I think solicitors and indeed their clients will assess a barrister not on the basis necessarily just of whether they won or lost, but how good a job they did. Some cases are.
If you don't win the case for me, you haven't done a good job. End of.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, the barristers cannot.
Why would I want to pay someone for losing? And yet you have to if you lose the case, and you might have to pay the other fellow's expenses as well. So I don't believe anyone who loses a case has done a good job for me.
Well, the reality is there's a couple of things. First of all, every case is different, and the barrister can only work with the case he or she is given. So if the case is not winnable, the barrister can't win it, and that's not his or her fault. However, in the course of giving advice to a solicitor and to a litigant, a barrister can save them a great deal of money and hassle. You can reduce the issues in a case, which reduce the cost of the case. You can save issues and costs, for example. You can make an argument for the court that the certain costs shouldn't be payable and that kind of thing. And in the run-up to the actual trial or the actual actual action, you can massively reduce issues by corresponding and giving advice to the solicitor to narrow the issue so that the cost for individuals involved in the case are hugely reduced. But as I say, a barrister can still do an excellent job and the person doesn't win the case. It doesn't mean the barrister did a bad job. However much the client might think that, the reality is the importance of having that quality representation in court is that it delivers for people in ways even when they don't win the case per se.
Barry, thank you very much for joining us. Barry Ward, a Fine Gael senator and practicing barrister. Darren Lawler practices largely in the district court. Darren, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So what is the issue in the district court? The criminal legal aid scheme is there. Is that not a nice little earner?
No, Pat. And the illusion maybe that the public have through media reports seems to think that maybe it is. It isn't. The fact is that barristers in the district court are working on very little fees. For example, if you go to a full trial hearing in the district court, your own fees as little as €67. If the client was to plead guilty and you have to go to a plea of mitigation and hand in reports on behalf of the client and go to consultations with the client and consultations with the guard, the fee is €50.40. And if the case is adjourned for any reason, or if it's just its first day in court, the fee is €25.20. So unfortunately, it's not a nice little earner under the criminal legal aid scheme, Pat, in the district court.
So if you just have to stand up and if the case is adjourned, you get €25.40, but you still have to read all the documentation, even for that brief court appearance.
Yes, Pat. I have, I'm preparing this weekend for two matters I have in court on Monday, and I will have to read all the documents and then I'll have to meet the client. I'll have to take instructions from the client. I will have to meet the guard to take instructions from the guard. So the preparation for court doesn't happen in court. It happens that weekend, you know, and that €25.20 I will be paid on Monday for each case of two cases includes my preparation for the case and the consultation with the client afterwards, and then a report I must write for the solicitor in relation to letting
a nice little earner. Two things. Does the state pay quickly and does the state impose a withholding tax?
Well, in relation to the district court, Pat, is that we get paid directly from the solicitor when it comes to the fees I've just outlined. So what happens is that the solicitor will instruct us, and what the solicitor is paid by the state, they have to pay us from that money. So some colleagues do be waiting some time to be paid from solicitors because solicitors are waiting to be paid from the state. We're in the middle of an emergency. Not everybody is back to work fully. A lot of systems have slowed down. So there can be delays there, and there can be delays where some solicitors just haven't paid, you know. But the main issue for people at my level is that I'm at the start of my profession. Obviously, during COVID is slowing things down for the past 2 years. And in any profession, Pat, we begin at the beginning. But unfortunately for many, that the beginning is becoming the end, not because there are too many barristers in a profession which looks at the profession as a whole. It's because people can't survive on fees as low as €25.20.
All right, Darren, thank you very much for joining us. Darren Lawler, who's a barrister at law practicing in the district court.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.